Okay, these last few hours of Hanukkah will be the last to wish you a lichtige Hanukkah on this Zos Hanukkah. Express our gratitude, as always, to the Froelich Financial Group for sponsoring the Men's Afternoon Kollel. We do not yet have a sponsor for this week. If you'd like to sponsor, please speak to Rabbi Shabtai. We'll dedicate our learning for Refuah Shlema for all Chol Yisrael, but in particular, we have in mind those who were injured in the horrific terror event in Muncie over this past week. Should have a speedy and a complete and a painless Refuah Shlema. As we are in the period rapidly approaching Yeshiva Week, time when many people go on cruises, and those who are whole life is a Yeshiva Week right now because they have the benefit of being retired, so go on cruises. I thought we would spend some time, I doubt we'll finish in 1 week, may take us two or three, to go through halachas of cruising. Issues that come up, halachic issues that come up, and going on a cruise, in the area of embarking on the cruise, in the area of Shabbos on the cruise, in the area of kashrus on the cruise. We won't touch tznius on the cruise. That'll let you conclude on your own where to be hanging out and what to attend and what to wear. We'll leave that for you to decipher on your own. But these other areas of halacha that come up very often, and honestly, even the halacha doesn't change, but some of the circumstances change. I first wrote a guide, a halacha guide to cruising. There were many members of the community going on a cruise in Yeshiva Week. They asked me to write it. It goes back several years. And there was one conclusion that I included on the question of having them double wrap salmon and heat it up for you. Today we'll come to a different conclusion. I don't know if we'll get to it today or next week, but that question has a different conclusion today than it did originally. Halacha didn't change. Bishalakum didn't change. Salmon didn't change. But how we consume salmon may have changed, which definitely influences the outcome. So the first question when determining, halacha question determining the issue of going on a cruise, is scheduling the cruise. When are you allowed to? Do you want to be here? Yeah, exactly. I'll pause, and anyone who wants to leave, feel free. I won't be offended if you don't want to know the halachas. The first question that comes up in terms of a cruise is embarking on the cruise. When to schedule the cruise? What is the question? Why is that a question? What arises? So the Gemara and Shabbos, Daf Yotes Amud Aleph has the following: Tana Rabbanan, Ein Mafligin Bisfina Pachos Migimel Yodim Yamim Kodim LaShabbos. That word Mafligin is a funny word. Plugta b'may pligi, kamifligi. What does Mafligin mean in this context? You're not allowed to be Mafligin on a boat 3 days before Shabbos. It does not mean you're not allowed to argue on a boat. Rashi in the right-hand column, I underlined it, Mafligin. Mafrishin min hayabash aliyam. You cannot depart from the shore to the sea. V'zeo loshan haflaga svina Hashem shem maflig atzma min hayishuv. What's a machlokas, a plugta, is a disagreement, is a divide between two people. So in this context, mafligin means you cannot divide yourself from the land. In other words, you cannot embark on the cruise, namely, dividing yourself from the land. Rabbi Sani Yaakov Shamati Be'evin Shemtziuso Shoyam Nikra Pilgus V'yav Peloshon Laz Pilgus. The center of the sea is called that. So Mafligin means when you embark from dry land, heading out and cruising out to sea. So the Gemara says, Ein Mafligin, you're not allowed to embark on a ship 3 days prior to Shabbos. But Medvar Mamurim, the Gemara quickly qualifies it. L'davar Ashus. If you're just going recreationally, you're going for entertainment, you're going for your own amusement, for a davar ashus, it is an elective trip, aval advar mitzvah, but if the purpose of your journey, which obviously we'll define, is for the purpose of a mitzvah, shapir dami, then it is permissible, even within 3 days of Shabbos, it is permissible to go. How do you define 3 days of Shabbos? At this point of the Gemara, you're not allowed to set forth on a cruise within 3 days of Shabbos, if it's an elective cruise. If it's for the purpose of the fulfillment of a mitzvah, then you would be allowed. What's 3 days before Shabbos?
Wednesday,
Thursday, Friday is 3 days before Shabbos. The Vilna Gaon says, no, it's Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. That Shabbos is one of the days. The Vilna Gaon understands that the prohibition begins to leave on Thursday. Wednesday, you're still allowed to go. But most understand and interpret the Gemara that the 3 days does not include Shabbos, that the Gemara intends 3 days prior to Shabbos, so you can't embark on a cruise on a Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, unless it's for the purpose of a mitzvah. Uposek imam anas lishbos, and you should make a condition, you should negotiate with the captain, with the cruise line, that even if you're going for the purpose of a of a mitzvah, Rashi says, posek imanachri amanas lishbos, then tzorach lishbos, should rest, but if he goes anyway, then he leaves anyway. Divrei Rebbe. Shema Gamliel Omer, eino tzorach, he says it's not necessary, and so on. Tosfos says, ein mafligi misvina, what's the issue? What's the issue? What's the prohibition? So the Gemara records, don't leave 3 days, either Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Thursday, Friday. Kashabbos is the third day, according to the Gra. What's the problem? What's the prohibition? Why can't you leave early? So if you look in Yalkut Yosef on page 2, we'll see the Psaka of Rav Avadya upstairs momentarily, but let's start downstairs in the footnote, because Kedarka Bekodesh, as he often does, he summarizes the sugya very well and very succinctly, incorporates the different Rishonim that tell us the different challenges or fears about why you should not leave early. So footnote Aleph on the bottom. He quotes Gemara Shabbos, is the Gemara we just read. Third line, V'arabam v'atur v'ashulchan aruch pasku, mutal haflik b'svina fil b'erev Shabbos, im holech l'dvar mitzvah posik imo sheyishbos. You're allowed to leave if it's for the purpose of a mitzvah and you're not going to sail on Shabbos. But imachar kach lo yishbos imekach klum. But if he doesn't listen to the captain because he takes orders from the company, then nothing you can do. Aval dvar shus imaflik b'svina pachdu shosh yom kodem Shabbos, but if it's for an elective reason, then you're not allowed to leave 3 days before Shabbos. So says Rav Avadya, or more accurately, his son Rav Yitzchak Yosef, the current Sephardic Chief Rabbi of Israel, and he quotes here no less than 7 reasons among the Rishonim who are all debating and trying to discover. The Gemara is not explicit. The Gemara does not explicitly tell us what the reason is, so the Rishonim all come along and debate. Number one, Rabbeinu Hanana, quoted by the Rif and the Rosh, to lo'osre ele b'sfina goshesh Hashem b'mayim asar tvachim. We're not talking about an ordinary ship, a cruise liner. We're talking about a boat that is within 10 tefachim of the ocean floor. 10 tefachim is how much? Tefach is 3 to 4 inches, 30 to 40 inches. We know we have a prohibition, a rabbinic prohibition. It's machlokas, we pass a rabbinic prohibition of tchum. You're not allowed to go in a non-residential continuum of 2,000 amma, about 7/10 of a mile, on Shabbos. You can't leave a city, a residential setting, for 7/10 of a mile on Shabbos. So if you would embark on this cruise, you might take it outside of the tchum. Aval lamala me'asar tvachim lo gozru. M'shemachi nago am lahaflik b'yam gadol. So, first of all, Rabbi Hanana says the problem is a potential problem of tchumin, but that would only apply to a boat which is small or, I guess, exceedingly heavy, or in shallow water, where the bottom of the boat will be within a certain distance of the ground, and therefore it'll be eligible for the prohibition of tchumen. If it is floating above 10 tefachim off the ground, then we paskin there is no tchumen at sea, only tchumen on land. If you're within tefachim of the ground, it is kilu, you're on land, tchumen would apply. If you're above that, it wouldn't apply, but that is Rabbeinu Hanano's worry. Number two, Das Rav Haigon, quoted by the Tashbetz, she'esum nishim shet dekayim lan she'en shatam in arba Shabbos, gzer shem yasa chavash shayetan, l'islamet l'ashut. You're not allowed to swim on Shabbos. You might make some sort of life vest. V'kevin she'be Shabbos, it's also memela, gam kodem ha-Shabbos, also she'ye b'mayim. V'afil b'soch ha-tchum, osur. Even if there's no fear that you're going to deviate or drift outside the tchum because it's a boat, the water is high, or the boat is floating higher up. Even if the tchum is not an issue, nevertheless, as Rav Haigon, there's another problem, which is you might come to swim, and all the prohibitions of swimming, of potentially building a raft, of building a life vest, of a kodem gimel yom meitiru before 3 days prior to Shabbos, to v'zesh lo itiru lo el a kodem gimel yom me'ashabbos yesh lo heker v'lo gozru shayasa chavesho shayatim. Once you're at sea for 3 days before Shabbos, so now you just have your home at sea. If you have a home in which you're comfortable, we're not worried that you're going to take measures which would be prohibited on Shabbos in order to protect yourself from drowning. But within 3 days of Shabbos going into sea, you still might come to violate Shabbos by taking those measures in a way which is a violation of Shabbos. And therefore, Chazal said, do not embark on a cruise 3 days before Shabbos. Number three, the Rif and the Rambam. The problem is bitul mitzvahs oneg Shabbos. This is the most commonly known or thought of reason, which is that for the first 3 days, you're first getting your sea legs. You're first getting comfortable on the boat. And For the first 3 days, you have seasickness and you're dizzy. Rov yorde hayamach mashinei mezag avir menei abash alayam v'nanu asvina toch k'dei nesiyasa maschil nahargish mi'chushei rosh kvedim v'chilos v'akos. You're going to have a headache and you're going to be dizzy and you're going to be nauseous v'chol ochel t'tayv nafsham and you're not going to be able to keep anything down. As the Pasuk in Tehillim says, yorde hayam ba'anios yavu shamayim yorde t'homas nafsham barat t'smogag yachogiv yano kishikar. It's going to throw you around and it's going to, the sea is going to have its way with you and throw you around. U'mikevan shaken yavol imanam mitzvah onik Shabbos. You're therefore going to forfeit the mitzvah onik Shabbos. It's going to violate the obligation of experiencing pleasure and joy on Shabbos. If within 3 days of embarking, Shabbos comes, you're going to spend Shabbos nauseous and with a headache and dizzy, unable to enjoy the Suda of Shabbos. After 3 days, you've accustomed yourself to the new climate and to the movement of the ship. And then you can fulfill the mitzvahs of Onik Shabbos. So if that's true that you're going to forfeit Onik Shabbos, then why the Dvar Mitzvah, if it's for the purpose of a mitzvah, why are you allowed to leave? So the Rabbi Elijah is quoting the Rambam and the Rif hold. Why? Because of the old Oseg B'mitzvah Potem Min HaMitzvah. When you're occupied with one mitzvah, you're exempt from another. So if you're in transit, if you're on your way to fulfill a mitzvah, so you're occupied with a mitzvah, you're exempt from the mitzvah of Oneg. In other words, you'll still miss the mitzvah of Oneg, but that's permissible because Oseg Mitzvah Potter Min HaMitzvah. Reason number 4 is given by the Baal Hamor, Rav Zerachya Halevi. Shatamu Sha'arei Hayamim Hem B'cheska Sakana. As the Pasuk says, V'yitzaku Al Hashem. Because the seas are a very dangerous place, and in order to save your life, the likelihood is you're going to have to violate Shabbos in some way in order to rescue yourself. So if you leave within that period of time on and within 3 days of Shabbos, you are setting yourself up. For the same reason, a person shouldn't schedule an elective surgery so close to Shabbos. A person shouldn't put themselves in a position where they know a person shouldn't travel so close to Shabbos. A person shouldn't put themselves in a position where, true, when the conflict arises, observing, preserving your life will supersede Shabbos. But if you could have avoided putting yourself in that situation to begin with, then you're not entitled to. So Ghazal said, traveling by sea is dangerous. So if there's a conflict between saving your life and violating Shabbos, of course one saves your life. But if you could avoid putting yourself in that position of that conflict, then you should avoid doing that to begin with. A person shouldn't go to any dangerous reason. Aye, so why then are you allowed to leave Sunday, Monday, Tuesday? If inevitably you might be besakana and it'll conflict with Shabbos and you'll have to violate Shabbos to save your life, why can you leave Sunday, Monday, Tuesday? Because Sunday, Monday, Tuesday belong to previous Shabbos. Halachically, you're not obligated to anticipate the next Shabbos till Wednesday. Wednesday you say Luchun Aranana. The last time you could say Havdalah is on Tuesday. The way it goes is Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are already Erev of the next Shabbos. So since you're B'chinas the previous Shabbos, you're not obligated to anticipate the next Shabbos. But once you hit Wednesday, then it's already Erev Shabbos. So on Erev Shabbos, to put yourself in a position where you might have a conflict and you'll need to violate Shabbos is not appropriate to do. That's what Chazal asked. That's the reason of the Baal Hamor. Reason number 4. Reason number 5, the Ran the Ramban. Time of the Imilson Mishum Sha'us and Kam of Kam Malachim Yechod Bishul Yisrael, Benir Keshlucho Lachal of Shabbos. Avol Begim Yom Kodem Shabbos, Al Das Atzmo Ose. If you embark on a cruise on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the non Jewish sailors and stewardesses, waitresses, shipmates, whatever they're called appropriately, are going to be doing things for you. And it looks like they're your shluchim violating Shabbos to navigate the ship for you because you only embarked close to Shabbos. Again, if you embarked earlier, then they're doing it for themselves. Number 6, Tosos. Also, Mishum Gzer Shema Yanagas Asvina. You might come to steer the ship. Number 7, the Rashbam. Are you allowed to set up a malach on Erev Shabbos even if it will come to completion on Shabbos? According to Beis Hillel, it's no problem. According to Beis Shammai, it is a problem. So the Rashbam is of the opinion that this whole prohibition, rabbinic prohibition, to embark on a cruise on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday is only within the opinion of the Shammai, and we don't really accept it, but we don't accept the opinion of the Rashbam, and we really follow the first six opinions. So, no less than seven reasons, or six and an asterisk reasons, of why Chazal concluded you're not allowed to embark on a cruise on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, because you might violate any one of these six concerns or these six fears. Yes? Yeah, the Tosfos here gives the reason. Tocha tchum aser. Exactly. Even within the tchum, the issue is shut. Exactly. Right. So Tosfos and Erevin gives a different reason. Different Tosfosim. Exactly. So again, to summarize. First reason that I'm on the riff, that you're going to neglect, you're going to negate, you're going to forfeit the mitzvah of Onik Shagas. You're going to be dizzy and nauseous and have a headache. You're going to spend all Shabbos in your cabin and bed while you're still getting your sea legs. You're not entitled to forfeit Onik Shabbos. Don't, therefore, board the ship Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. The Balamor explained the reason, because there's always danger traveling in the sea. It will necessitate a Chil Shabbos. Don't put yourself in a position of Chil Shabbos. Rabbeinu Chananel on the Rosh, quoted by Tashbetz, that ships that actually touch the bottom of the ocean floor, and there's a potential tchum issue. Rav Haigon, cited by Tosfos and Shabbos and Erevin, the reason for the prohibition is that you're going to construct a swimmer's barrel, this chavis, some swimmer barrel, which is like a life jacket, because you might come to construct it in order to save yourself on Shabbos. That would be a problem. Next reason was, Tosfos and Erevin, you might tow the ship, which in a Carmelist would be prohibited. It's like, if you steer the ship and you tow it, it's like carrying it. The Ramban, the Ran, say, Amir la'akum, when you ask the captain and the mates of the ship to operate the ship for you, it's Amir la'akum, it's a potential violation, and they're doing it, they're doing this violation for you. Yes.
Prohibition because you might construct a life jacket.
Yeah.
You would construct a life jacket because you grew up naturally. You make it more.
Well, so it could be a corollary of that. A corollary of don't put yourself in a position that you'll need to violate Shabbos is, I think the fear is, even if you don't need to violate Shabbos, there's not an immediate danger, but nevertheless, your intuition. I was on one cruise. I'm still dizzy from it. It was 5 years ago. I was on two, I should say. We did the empty nester cruise. But I went with my family on one cruise. I was dizzy more than 3 days later. And I generally don't get nauseous or rattled, but it still felt like the room was moving for a long time afterwards. So I remember the very first thing that you do before the ship leaves, there's some like alarm that goes off, and everybody's got to line up next to the lifeboat, which is going to save them if there's a problem. There's a drill. There's the lifeboat drill before it's willing to even pull out. So what does that mean to say? What are you lining up by a lifeboat? You're not even in sea. You haven't even left the port. The answer is, because before a ship departs, people are already concerned what's going to be, what's going to happen. So if a Jew is on that ship and it's departed, you're going to say, I got to build myself a swimming barrel. I got to build a lifeboat. I got to build a life jacket. Not because there's an immediate danger in that moment, which would supersede Shabbos, but because that's the drill. So if you're going to do that drill on Shabbos in a way that violates Shabbos, don't do it. So if you leave Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, then you'll build your lifeboat, you'll build your life barrel, your life jacket. In a weekday, no, you're good. But if you leave Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, then the fear is you're going to come to build your life barrel, life boat, life jacket on Shabbos, and that would be a problem. Okay, so seven different reasons, really six reasons, or Beis Shammai, what we don't accept, about seven different reasons of why Gemara quotes that you're prohibited from embarking on a cruise on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 days within Shabbos.
Do any of these, on a practical level today, really apply to
me? Excellent. So we'll get to that in a moment. We'll get to it in a moment. The Meiri, one of the Rishonim, already said, we've got big boats, and there's no tchum issue, and there's no life barrel issue, and there's no nausea issue because there are stabilizers that keep it in place. So, yeah. So we'll see. We'll see in a moment. But let's first see how we paskin. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, go to page 4, Siman Reish Mem Ches and Hilcha Shabbos, Aruch Hayin Siman Reish Mem Ches, and the Shulchan Aruch says the following, Mutal Lahaflik B'Sfina Afilu Be'er Shabbos and Holoch L'Dvar Mitzvah. You're allowed to embark on Shabbos if you're going for the purpose of a mitzvah. And we're going to define what that mitzvah is. You'll be fascinated to see what it is. You may not anticipate it. However, even when you embark for the purpose of a mitzvah, you should make a condition that they will not, that they'll rest on Shabbos. And if they don't, what could you do? But if it's elective, then you should not do so within 3 days. Mishnah Berurah quotes what we saw already. We still look where I underlined the third line. The reason that if you're embarking for a mitzvah, you're allowed to, even though you may forfeit Oneg Shabbos, is because Oseg b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah. Fine. Says the Ramah, even if it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, so you have the potential tchum issue, you're allowed to if it's more than 3 days before Shabbos. Even if a place that you might come to end up having to tow the boat. If it's a short journey, then you can leave on Friday because you're going to get there before Shabbos. You don't have to worry about all the reasons that we stated. But even those who are careful, even if it's a short journey and you anticipate getting there, then still a person should not do it on Erev Shabbos. Can you go for a gondola ride? If you're in Italy and on Friday you want to go on the gondola ride, all these reasons don't apply. You're going to go on the gondola ride. Can you go on a fishing trip where you're going to be back by Erev Shabbos? So according to the Shulchan Aruch, yes, in those situations you'd be allowed to, because none of our fears of Chilul Shabbos or forfeiting Oneg Shabbos would apply. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if you look in Sifkat and Dalet, I underlined it for you, that Hayna B'yom Revi'i B'Shabbos, when we talk about these 3 days, they begin with Wednesday, says the Magen Avraham. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I've all hagra, hevi b'shem harbi rishon, de'gim yom nechshav im Shabbos gufa. Yom Revi'i mutar. The Gra tries to prove in the Tosefta in Yerushalmi, and that many Rishonim hold the 3 days include Shabbos. So, and this is obviously a big nafkamina. Can you schedule a cruise that leaves on Wednesday? According to some, no. According to the Vilna Gaon, you would be allowed to. Good. We said 3 days before Shabbos, says the Mishnah Berurah. V'adin kodem yantav, yantav Shabbos shalom, v'chem yantav sheni ein mafligin. Whatever we're going to conclude about whether you can, when you can embark. So if you're going on a Pesach cruise, when do you have to leave? Imagine if the halacha, imagine actually you'd have to pay. You have to leave 3 days before Erev Pesach in order to avoid all these halachic issues. The Mishnah Berurah says that Yontif is the same as Shabbos when it comes to this, when it comes to this question. Halacha base, next page. Hadei maflig mitzvina pachash losh yom kodem ha-shabbos ha-tamishim onik Shabbos ha-goy gimel yomim harishonim yesh lam tzara u-bilbul. So who is the Shulchan Aruch paskening like? Like the Rambam and the Rif. That the problem is if you leave within 3 days of Shabbos, you're going to forfeit your own Shabbos. You're going to be dizzy and nauseous. V'dafke l'mafligim v'yam ha-meluchim. Aval ben haros ein shum tzar l'mafligim v'yam l'fich ha-mut l'afligim. If you're going on a river, it's okay. It's just in the ocean where the water is going to throw you around. V'hu shalo yeyadu alanu she'in ba'om kem asar tvachim. Av makav she'yadu alanu she'mikarka asvin l'karka nar pochim misar tvachim. Then also mishum iser tchumen. And that, on a nar you're allowed to, again, is assuming you're avoiding the tchumen issue, and the only issue were a oneg issue. Halacha gimel. Heichad amut l'haflik me'erev Shabbos, im nichmas b'svina me'erev Shabbos, v'kana b'shvisa, alfa b'ishim mefalegas b'shabbos, mutter. Then we get to the halachas, which we'll get to, of when can you get off the ship? Can you get back on the ship? What if the ship docks on Shabbos? Can you get on and off the ship? We'll get to shortly. But how do you define a mitzvah for these purposes? How do you define a mitzvah? So look at the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah on the next page. Sivkot and Chav Ches. If you're going to Eretz Yisrael, is one mitzvah. If you're going to Eretz Yisrael to make Aliyah, you're going to settle in Israel, you can leave on a Wednesday, you can leave on a Thursday, you can leave on a Friday. Some say even if you're not going to move to Israel permanently, you're going on a mission to Israel, you're going on a tour to Israel, you're going on a summer Pesach program to Israel, because walking Dalet Amos in Israel is a mitzvah, that too constitutes a mitzvah, not reshus, which would enable you to leave right before Shabbos. If a problem, if you must hikel harama, besof simen behaga, vade digam huzeh bechlav dvar mitzvah. You know what another mitzvah is? Turn the page again. Lama dalet, sifkot and lama dalet in the Mishnah Berurah. L'schora, to do business. I'll tell you a little secret. Earning a parnasa is a mitzvah. Some communities, it's a dirty word, it's an avera. But according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, the Mishnah Berurah, earning a livelihood, earning a living, supporting your family, being a contributing member of society, helping the economy, is a mitzvah. Afilu yesh lo mezonos v'holech l'schol l'harvacha. And you say, well, I have a few dollars in the bank, and I have enough money to pay the mortgage, I have enough money for my health insurance and a few meals. L'harvacha, you're just trying to make more money to have more, that too is a mitzvah. And so on and so forth. So you see, as examples, two examples of what might constitute a mitzvah for the purpose of being able to travel on Shabbos, you have, if you're going to Israel, is one example of a mitzvah, and the other example of a mitzvah would be to earn a panasa. Now, hold on. I just want to make sure we get through some material. Now, the Meiri I mentioned, the Meiri is the only one of the Rishonim who says that today, if it's a very large ship, or if you're a person who is used to going on large boats and ships, so therefore you're not going to be a candidate for forfeiting oneg and noshes, so then this halacha wouldn't apply to you. So do we paskin like that Meiri or not? So if you turn to page 8, and the tshuvas Menuchas Ava, he says the following, Rav Moshe Halevi, he lived 1961, I don't remember exactly the dates of when he left. The Menuchas Avar, Moshe Alevi, says the following: Also, Adam l'Hafleg b'Svinim Yom Chamishi b'Shavua, and Miyevshar b'Shemofen Sheigel Makom Chatzu Kodem Shabbos. You can't leave on a Thursday if you're not going to get where you're going. They should be Shloshes Yom Rishon Advaga Yesh Mafligim B'Yam Tzaru Bilbul, because the first 3 days. So first of all, he's passing like whom? The Gra. He's passing like the Rambam that the issue is Oneg, and he's also passing like the Gra because he says Miyom Chamishi b'Shavua. V'Nimtzem Mevatel Oneg Shabbos. You're going to forfeit Oneg Shabbos. Uvizman hazeh, sha'oniyos mesucholos b'yoser ve'ein shem tzar u'bilbol mafligim bahem, mutar lahaflig afilu be'erev Shabbos. But today, where people go on large ships regularly, and these large ships have what are called stabilizers that help, kishmo kachu, help stabilize the boat, to make sure it doesn't rock people back and forth, which is happens to be very good for business if you own a cruise line. If people would be throwing up and nauseous and have a headache and dizzy, they would probably not book their next cruise before they leave that one. So they have stabilizers. So he says, because of that, today it's permissible to leave on a cruise, even on Erev Shabbos. But tonight, as long as the sailors are non-Jews, and most of the passengers on the cruise line are non-Jews, so that whatever work, whatever malacha is being violated in order to maintain the ship is being done for the majority of the passengers which are non-Jews, then you, the Jew, can be benefiting from it as well. Where does he get this from? Footnote number 10. Hameiri Kosev, this is the Meir's language that we've been referencing. Yeshlomo hatel mishahurgo bekach lahaflig bayam velo yachash bara. Oshema bezmanam eilu lako, shasvinim bekiyam bahar beve ein kan tzar kol kach. In the time of Menachem Meiri already, he says that the sailors are more expertise in preserving the stability of the boat, and therefore you don't have to worry, and therefore, v'koshekein, adds Moshe Halevi, koshekein bezman hazeh, sh'ani yos m'shuklal b'yoser ve'ein chashem bara klal, kishmafligim behem, zulas b'nei adam hargishim b'yoser, so the hypersensitive ones, like Goldberg, they'll get dizzy. But most passengers on a cruise, on a ship, they're perfectly comfortable, they're perfectly happy right away. If you check out the buffet line, the opening night on the cruise, it doesn't take 3 days for people to gain their appetite. If you look at the buffet line and the ice cream machine, people gain their appetite, they're good to go from the start. Ukiyotsu b'kasav arama mitshuva, shebenahara shalashach tzaru bilbo mutal haflig, ve'viyo amagin mishnah. So just like what the Shulchan Aruch paskins about a river where you're not going to have that issue, so today for us the ocean, the sea, is like their river. That's how confident we are in the stability of our boats, so much so that he paskins halacha lemaisa, that whole halacha about not leaving within 3 days was true then, but for the large ships that we go on today would not be true today. Now there could be a nafkamina. We used to have a member who owned a beautiful sailboat, and occasionally they would sail to the Bahamas. So if you're on a sailboat, I've been on there, I was on their sailboat. That sailboat, the ocean throws you around on that sailboat. So if you're on that sailboat, a small little sailboat, no matter how good an amateur captain you are, but if you're sailing, It's going to take you a few days to adjust. So he would concede, and the Meiri would concede, the halacha would still apply. But in terms of embarking on a cruise line, on a cruise ship, the size of that ship and the stabilizers of the ship, he argues halachically, it no longer applies. Im rov anosim nochrim, back upstairs on the next page. V'koshkim rov anosim im Yisraelim, asal hafik miyam revi elach. However, if most of the passengers are Jewish, or majority are not non-Jewish, then you're not allowed to embark on Wednesday and on. About kodem lachem mutter, beforehand you would be permissible. V'machovim alachem Yisraelim, asal hafik miyam afil miyam rishon. And what happens if it's a Jewish cruise liner, where the captain and the sailors are Jewish? Then you're not allowed to leave, even on a Sunday. Then you would not be allowed to benefit from the malacha that's being done from those sailors. So that is his psak halacha, bizmanazeh. Anybody who wants to be matir, going on a cruise Wednesday, Thursday, or certainly Friday, quotes this tshuvas and relies on his psak. The mainstream psak is a little bit different. And if you go back to Rav Avadya, certainly for Svardim, but even beyond, who was on page 2, go back to page 2. Where did I put him? Yeah. Go back to page 2. Tchum is not an issue, and if the majority of the passengers and the crew are non-Jewish, then you're good. If you're going to deliver a large fat check for tzedakah, or you're going to make a living, or you're going to Eretz Yisrael, so you don't have to make this Tanai that they won't travel on Shabbos. If you're a member of the crew, and if you really are somebody who will not be affected by the ship, then you'd be allowed. But otherwise, Rav Avadya Paskins, that despite that Meiri and despite the stabilizers on cruise ships, this halacha remains in force, in place. And if you go on a ship that the crew are Jews, then for sure you have a problem. Rav Schechter is also machmir and suggests trying not to leave on a cruise on Erev Shabbos. But the other one who was mekel is Rav Belsky Zatzal. Rav Belsky, Rav Shiva Torah Vadas, one of the poskim of the OU, Rav Belsky was miyashev the minog, the custom of those who did leave even on Erev Shabbos. And this lenient view is quoted not only by the Meiri. The Kaf HaChaim quotes the Meiri authoritatively, as does the Moruk Tzia, and as does, as we saw, the Tshuva Menuchas Ava. So there are several poskim who rely on this Meiri, that a large ship with stabilizers where people will not be nauseous, it will be permissible. So my conclusion or suggestion is, if possible, preferably, ideally, schedule to leave Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, not Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Less preferable, but still more ideal, is Wednesday over Thursday, Friday. At least you still have the benefit of the Vilna Gaon and those Rishonim. If no choice, that's when the whole family's going and so on and so forth. In fact, I saw there are those who want to argue that rest and relaxation are also a mitzvah. Oh, wow. Which would make one wonder.
Even if you leave on Sunday, it's absolutely
no, that's okay, but
Friday takes off.
That's okay, because you've been on the boat, so you've gained your sea legs. The issue is that you're first going on the boat on a Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. Right. If you've been on the boat, even if it stops and embarks again on a Friday, you've already gained your sea legs. You're going to be fressing at that Costa Rica buffet, you're going to be just fine. So there are some who say that even rest relaxation would be the Dvar Mitzvah, which leaves one wondering, what's Dvar Rishus? if Dvar Mitzvah we've defined. So if vacation is also a Dvar Mitzvah, so I think there's vacations. First of all, there's a notion. Let's say a family's going together, and parents or grandparents have arranged. No one needs to be the frumak in the family and say, I'm so sorry, the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara Shabbos, daf yutes, I learned up the sugya, so sorry, Zaydi, so sorry, Bubby, I can't go with you, you're leaving on a Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. That's a Dvar Mitzvah. Kibbut Ave'im would also be a Dvar Mitzvah. And being part of your family and Achdus is also a Dvar Mitzvah. So again, if you're the Zaydi, or Bubby, and you're the one who's arranging the plans, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday preferably, less preferable Wednesday, And while many poskim are against it, there are those who do support it, as we mentioned, the Kaf HaChaim and the Menuchas Ava, and Rav Belsky was lenient or defended the practice of those who would leave on an Erev Shabbos as well. So all that is the first issue of when you embark on the cruise. Yeah. So if the ship docks on Shabbos, can you disembark? There's no prohibition of disembarking on Shabbos. That was in the Shulchan Aruch. But there are a few halachic considerations that you have to be careful about. There's no Erev that's going to connect the ship to the dock. So the fact that the ship docks on Shabbos is not itself a problem or a prohibition. But there is a problem carrying anything off of the ship. And again, from my experience, you're not allowed to leave a ship without your ID, or they won't let you back on the ship. So you have a problem getting off the ship because of that technicality. So if you're going to disembark in a way in which no one's forcing you to carry your ID, you'd have to check your pockets beforehand and make sure that you're not carrying anything. And you'd also have to be careful about the tchum. About 7/10 of a mile, tchum would take place based on where you dock, and you'd not be allowed to walk more than the distance of the tchum. So for technical reasons, it would be very complicated and difficult to actually leave the ship on Shabbos. But in principle, strictly speaking, if you had a way to do it, it would not be a prohibition. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Okay. What about? Oh, we're going to get to all these questions. So maybe hold off and let me. We're going to get to these questions. What about if the ship has a metal detector? That's another challenge getting off the boat. Boats have metal detectors for security, or at least getting, I don't think they care if you're taking a weapon off the boat. They care if you're coming back on through the metal detector. Can you walk through a metal detector on Shabbos? So the answer is yes, as long as you don't have any metal. If you have metal and you knowingly have metal and you're going to cause the metal detector to go off, then you've got a problem of a malacha. But if you're not carrying metal and walking through the metal detector will not cause any problem, then you would be allowed to walk through the metal detector on Shabbos. What about carrying on the boat or on the ship on Shabbos? What's the problem of carrying on the ship on Shabbos? So the ship itself is an Eruv. The walls of the ship constitute its own rishus. They are its own space. And so certainly carrying within the ship, in principle, there's two parts to an Eruv. In order to be able to carry, you need the physical boundary of the Eruv, and you also need what's called an Eruv Chatzeros. You need something that binds all the inhabitants of that Rishus HaYachid to be living, to constitute living together. So how do you create a boundary, the physical boundary, the physical A part of an Eruv? We rely on all kinds of halachic creativity to create a machitza. So for example, we have actual machitzas, a canal bank is an actual machitza. As long as the slope of the canal bank is enough of an angle that it represents a wall, the bank of a canal is a bona fide machitza. It's a bona fide wall. We have walls, which are machitzas. So parts of our Erev and Boka rely on the walls of gated communities. And that wall, if it doesn't have a breach in the wall, and it starts close enough to the ground, and has the requisite height, is a bona fide machitza. We also have other creative machitzas. So for example, if I have two doorposts and a lintel on top, that's called a doorway. So can I have a wall that's made up of all doorways? So I'll give you an example of a doorway. If I have two electric poles with an electric wire that passes on top, then I have a doorway. Now, in order to be a doorway, the Gemara Nirvan says, the lintel has to pass al gabav. It has to be on top of the doorpost. If the lintel is attached from the side, then it's not a bona fide doorway. So to be a legitimate doorway, that's why when an Erev is relying on electric lines, they have to be al-gabav, they have to be electric lines that run on top of the poles, not attached to the side of the pole. That is invalid. That is no good. So I can have a doorway as part of a wall, right? My wall is not considered to be breached because there's a doorway. The question is, how many doorways in succession can I have and still call that a wall? Or at some point, is my imagination run too wild? Is it too much imagination to have too many tzuras ha-pesachs to rely on an Erev? So there's obviously much to say in Hilchas Erevin about what defines a machitza. Sfaradim, based on the Rambam, are much more makbid in terms of amen merubah la-paretz, how much of it has to be actual machitza and how much can be imaginary machitza. What is the ratio of the combination of the two? What constitutes a doorway, a lechi? String lechayayim. Sometimes you'll say, well, I've got a problem because my entire street, I'm relying on the electric lines, but they're all attached from the side of the pole, not on top. So there are some who believe you can use what's called a string lechi, which is I'm going to hang a string on the pole underneath the wire on top. The lechi and the lintel don't have to touch. I'll use some instrument to calibrate that I'm directly under it, attached to the pole, and that's a lechi. Others say that's not a lechi, because if you remove the pole, that string will fall to the ground. How could you call the string a lechi, a doorpost, if it's relying on the real doorpost is the electric pole? These are all complicated nuances in the world of Erevin. Erevin are very, very difficult. I will tell you that our Erev here in Boca, we have a beautiful large Erev that we're part of the greater community Erev. And Barabovsky does a wonderful job checking it and correcting it. We also, more recently, the Sephardic members of BRS, Rabbi David Shabtai deserves great credit, did some work. Montoya Circle is surrounded on 3+ sides by a canal, which means that the canal bank on the overwhelming majority of Montoya Circle is almost already a bona fide excellent Erev. There's now a Tzuras HaPesach that runs over Boca Del Mar Drive. If you drive on Boca Del Mar, you'll see a string going over Boca Del Mar Drive. If you go the right time, you might find Sephardim hanging out of a bucket high in the air. What do they call those, bucket trucks? A cherry picker. You might find a Sephardi hanging out of a cherry picker, making sure that that Tzuras HaPesach is the one that we need. But the Montoya Circle Erev, which is our Erev within the Erev, meets all the highest standards. Those who normally would never carry in an Erev anywhere else would carry in this Erev because its overwhelming majority, almost entirety, is an actual machitza, an actual wall, namely the canal banks, and it's only relying on a Tzuras HaPesach in one or two places.
Wasn't that the problem with
Manhattan is how you define Rosh Hashanah and so on and so forth. So that's Erev, and I don't want to get into that because the walls of the railing around the whole ship, the walls of the ship that go down, the ship itself is a Rosh Hashanah. The ship itself has the status of a private domain taking care of the problem of machitzas. But there is the second issue. Most people don't know about it. I give our little talk at Shalosh Shudas on right before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, where we give out the matzahs. No, the Shabbos before Parsha Zachor. Because people have a minhag of a month not eating matzah, so we give out the matzahs of the Eruv Chatzeres at the Shalosh Shudas of the Shabbos before Parsha Zachor. So there's a second. Chazal said you need an Eruv Chatzeres. You need the physical boundary that makes everyone living within it be combined to be in one domain. But you also, how do you constitute one domain that everyone lives together? What do you think Jews would use? Food. If we all have partial ownership of the same food, we're all invested in the same food, then we're one big happy family. How do we do that? Rabbi Rabovsky and I get together once a year. We have many, many pounds of matzah, and he lifts it on behalf of the whole community. I make the bracha of Erev Chatzeros. We recite the recitation of the Erev Chatzeros, and everybody owns a little piece of the matzah. To prove that, we distribute. When we replace that matzah once a year, we distribute it, both in his shul and our shul, and people can partake of and eat from the matzah. All this is a long way of asking. So my ship, my cruise, I can carry in terms of the boundary. But do I need an Erev Chatzeres on my ship? Now this is not unique to a ship. You could ask the same thing for a hotel. You rent a hotel for an ofruf, you rent a hotel for a bar mitzvah, you rent a hotel for a shev brach, for a simcha, or you're going to a hotel to run a Pesach program. So let's say you go through the hard work of making sure your hotel has a physical boundary and Erev outside. Do you also need to have an Erev Chatzeres? And do you make the bracha on an Erev Chatzeres? This is a very interesting question, and it is dealt with by many, including Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe on sources 11, pages 11 and 12. Igros Moshe Or HaChaim Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Mem Aleph. We're not going to read it inside, but it's based on the following. It's based on the following. Rav Moshe says, any dwelling, if it is a rental or a leasing arrangement, where the landlord owns certain appliances in the renter or leasee's domain, then you don't need an Erev Chatzeres. So in a hotel, he concludes, where the hotel owner owns the furniture in your room. So what you've rented is the right to use the room, but you've not actually taken ownership of the property in the room. So the property, particularly large furniture, appliances within the room, remain under the ownership of the corporation or the hotel owner, and therefore, you do not need an Erev Chatzeros in such places. That's Rav Moshe's conclusion. It all has to do with the concept of Tfisas Yad, ownership of certain articles or appliances How do you consider what's in whose domain that would obligate an Erev Chatzeros? When do you need the Erev Chatzeros component? When you have a Tfisas Yad in the Chatzer. But if you don't have a Tfisas Yad in the Chatzer, then you don't need an Erev Chatzeros. And Rav Moshe argues that in the hotel setting and in the cruise setting, where you don't have a Tfisas Yad because the owner would own even that which is in your room, therefore you would not need an Erev Chatzeros. And this is not only the conclusion of Rav Moshe, the Yeshua's Yankiv, and the Chelkas Yaakov also come to the same conclusion, even if it is for different reasons. Some say that this has to do with where you all eat. Do you eat in one dining room or several dining rooms? Rav Schechter says most of these hotels or cruises where the food is all prepared out of one kitchen, that's why you don't need an Erev Chatzeros. So, but again, the consensus of most poskim is that you do not need an Erev Chatzeros in a hotel or on a cruise. It'd be a nafkamina that even if you want to be machmir, it seems the Chazanish would be more machmir, that even if you wanted to be machmir, perhaps you shouldn't make a bracha on the Erev Chatzeros. Make a kinyan on the Erev Chatzeros in order to be choshish for those who hold you need it, but perhaps don't make the bracha if it's a suffolk whether you really need a Erev Chatzeros in such a setting. Next question about cruises. So that's Erev Chatzeros. Next question. What about if the doors of the ship are electric and they open with a sensor? So to get from one space to the next, the only way to get through those doors is that there's a sensor on the door. So of course, if there's another door to use where you don't have to engage the sensor, it's preferable to use another door. But if the only way to pass from one space to another is through a door that has a sensor, then you can wait for a non-Jew to trigger the sensor and walk closely behind them. Not so closely, you'll get arrested. But walk close enough that you're not triggering the motion sensor and you're relying on the fact that they've triggered the motion sensor for you. What about your room if there's a key card? Again, not unique to cruises, but true for hotels as well. So there are Shabbos-friendly hotels and Shabbos and Pesach-friendly hotel programs, but there are many hotels, and certainly the more modern that we become, the less Shabbos and Yantif friendly they are, including sensors on toilets, sensors on doors, and including electric keys to rooms, and so on and so forth. It's getting more complicated. Now, again, if you're in a hospital, that's a whole other set of shilas. But who said you have to go to the Pesach program? Who said you had to go for vacation to that hotel? Who says you have to go on this cruise to begin with? So there are a few suggestions of how to get around it. We've been discussing this a little bit in Smichas Chaver, the concept of Maisa Shabbos. Source, page 13. This comes from a sefer of Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, the author of the Chashuk Echemed. And he deals with the following. Beis malon shenechnasam l'chadarav rak be'emtzos kartis magneti. The only way to enter your hotel room is with a magnetic electric key card. Ketzad yikanis yudi lechedro b'shabbos. How do you get into your room? Shorei knisa krucha b'malacha d'oraisa. If you assume, which he is in the question, that the use of this electric key card is a biblical prohibition, which is an assumption not everybody agrees to. In fact, according to most, that electricity where there's no heat produced is only an issur d'rabbanan. But he's assuming in the question is d'oraisa, and he has two suggestions about how to get around it. Number one, Eitz Hashiyudi Yashem Lefnei Hashabbos Divrei Misika Bechadro Ukishitzarach Likanes Lechadro Yomer Lechem Yovdei Amalon Anachrim Bertzoni Lechabdocha Bedivrei Misika Achem Tzon Bechadrei Veini Yochel Likanes. What you do is you bring a package of chocolates, you bring a package of candy, and then when someone does something nice for you, one of the non-Jews, you say, "I'd like to give you a tip. Could you follow me to my room? I have the tip inside the room." And when they open the door for you, they're opening it so you can give them the gift. Obviously, you're not giving money. It's Shabbos. You're giving them a tip of a piece of potato kugel or some pcha. Just joking. You're giving them some chocolate. You bring a case of what's that high-end chocolate called? Godiva. You bring a case of Godiva. And so then each time you need the door opened, you set it up that you're actually giving a tip to a non-Jewish personnel, staff member. But the only way, so they're not opening the door for you. Now it's not Amir La'akam. What would be the problem? We forgot to mention. What would be the problem of their opening the door? Why can't I just go to a non-Jew and say, "Could you open the door for me? I can't open the door." So there's a rabbinic prohibition of Amira La'akam. Gemara learns it from the case of asking a non-Jew to put out a fire. We learn Amira La'akam, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew. Why are you not allowed to ask a non-Jew? Rashi has several reasons. One of which is, the non-Jew will look like he's your shliach, so therefore you're essentially doing malacha by extension by asking the non-Jew. And the other reason is that if you ask a non-Jew to do things for you that you can't do for yourself, you're going to undermine the whole integrity of Shabbos. The non-Jew is going to turn on the TV, and the non-Jew is going to drive you to the store, and the non-Jew is going to pay for you, and the non-Jew is going to... What happened to Shabbos? So Chachamim, the Rabbanon came along and they said, anything you can't do, you can't ask a non-Jew to do for you either. In Smichas Chaver, we're learning, but what if a non-Jew did do something for you? Can you benefit from it? How long do you have to wait? Just this past Sunday, we talked about Rav Sternbach's tshuva that just came out. They just finished building the train in Israel, the speed train, Yerushalayim, Odin, Tel Aviv, half an hour, express train. However, some of that building took place when? On Shabbos. The building was done for whom? For Jews, a country of Jews. So how long do you have to wait before you can benefit from it? Sternbach holds, you have to wait Kadesh Yasu. So you have to calculate 1/7 of the work and add it on after they say it's ready to go and wait several months till you can ride that train. Otherwise, you're benefiting from work that was done on Shabbos by a non-Jew for a Jew. Again, if you're interested in these topics, you can join us on Sunday mornings for Smichas Chaver. So I can't ask a non-Jew to do anything for me that I can't do for myself. If I can't use the electric key card, I can't ask him to use the electric key card. And the whole Shabbos goy, I'll hint to him, it's a misnomer. It's a halachic misconception. There's no such thing as if I hint, then I can do anything. There are times that you can ask explicitly. There are times that you can't ask at all. There are times that hinting will help. But it's a very, very complicated area of halacha. Not so simple that as long as I hint, then I can actually ask the non-Jew to do anything for me. That is a halachic misconception. So I can't ask the non-Jew explicitly, can you go open the door for me? Because there's a malacha involved. So suggestion number one that Rav Zilberstein gives is put a package of Godiva chocolate. Tell somebody you want to give them a tip for how wonderful they are, for the way they smiled at you or said hello to you that day, and say, can you come to my room? Again, it's a little sketchy. Hopefully you won't get arrested, but can you come to my room? I have a tip in my room that I'd like to give you. It has to be a chashuv enough gift that they are opening it for themselves, not for you. So a gadaiva, that's enough. You're giving them one little Hershey's kiss. First of all, how do you know they don't keep Chol Yisrael? Second of all, it's a joke, they're not Jewish. Second of all, that's not considered significant enough that they open the door for themselves. They're still opening it for you, so it has to be a significant enough gift. And you can combine the opinion of the Bala Itur that there's no Amir La'akum if it's in the place of a mitzvah, and having access to your dwelling on Shabbos, of course, would be a mitzvah, especially if your Shabbos meal is in your room, according to the Bala Itur, then you can explicitly ask the non-Jew, could you open my door? Unclear that you can rely on that because you could have just stayed in your room all Shabbos. And moreover, maybe you never had any right to go to the hotel for Shabbos altogether, that you're in the hotel relying on asking the non-Jew. So maybe you couldn't have been in your room all Shabbos because then you'd be forfeiting what? Going to shul. So now you have Amir al-Akam to go to shul, so he'll open the door because you left to come to shul, but he's allowed to open the door because your suit is inside. So, unclear, have some Godiva chocolate, that's number one. Number two, he quotes from his father-in-law, Rav Yashiv. Shayuhudi yomer lebala malona nachri me'erev Shabbos. When you check in and you rent your room, ani muchan l'shalem l'cha rak avor cheder kazeh she'uchal l'shtamish bo. I am willing to rent a hotel room that I'd be allowed to use on my Sabbath. Uvekartis magneti lo'uchal l'shtamish. But I would not be allowed to use the locks that you currently have. So I'm going to need the door open. And when you're arranging for the door to be opened, when I need it, you're not doing it for me, you're doing it for you. Because the only way that I will, in fact,
stay in your hotel
and rent this room is if arrangements are made for me to access my room. I could access the room because you unscrewed the hinges. I could access the room because you broke a hole in the door. I could access the room because you installed the key in a lock. I need to access the room in a way permissible for me. I'm conditioned. I'm only paying for this hotel room if I'm able to access the room in a way consistent with Jewish law. Then when the person checking you in checks you in and accepts that condition, then it's being opened for the hotel. It's not being opened for you. And then it would be permissible, and there's no prohibition of benefiting. Why don't you say you have to wait, like we just said about the train? Because when he opens the door, he's removing an impediment. He's not actually doing a malacha that you're benefiting from the hana'a, which would be prohibited even on Shabbos. Now the truth is, it's a little bit of an overcomplicated, it's an overcomplicated tshuva. You could come up with a much more, less complicated conclusion, which is the following. Amir La'akum is Issa D'Rabbanan, and the lock is probably an Issa D'Rabbanan, because most poskim hold, if it's an electricity, it doesn't generate heat, it's a rabbinic prohibition, not a biblical one. There's no light being lit, which generates a heat. So an electric, closing an electric circuit that does not result in heat or light is rabbinically prohibited, not biblically prohibited. So if Amir la'akum is rabbinically prohibited, and the lock itself is rabbinically prohibited, it's called a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. It's a double rabbinic prohibition in the case of a mitzvah. And why is it the case of a mitzvah? Because oneg Shabbos, chapan a shluf, a drimmel in your own bed in the hotel room, accessing your food that's there, your belongings that are there, your book, your sefer that are there, bless you, leaving the hotel room to be able to go to daven tefillah b'tzibur, hear kriyas haTorah. So it's a mira la'ak, it's a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. In other words, Rav Zilberstein didn't want to rely on the bala itur, who just said amira la'akum b'makom mitzvah is mutter straight out. But if you assume that it's actually a double derabanan, a shvus to shvus, it's an even more simplified way to come up with a heter. So based on that, if you're in a hotel or a cruise, then you'd be allowed to ask someone to open your room for you. But you shouldn't do it for any frivolous reason. You should evaluate that it's really a makom mitzvah that they're opening a door for you, and then you'd be allowed to have them open the door for you. What?
The LED indicator lights, like when you open it up, the green light goes on.
Yeah. So that's a psikreshah lo nichale. That's not bothering. Amir lakum and a psikreshah is mutter. Also, we'll get to that more. So that's all the time we have for today. Well, part two of cruising on the halachas of cruising. I'll give you a little preview of what we're going to talk about. Where do you light candles on the cruise? What can you use as a kiddush cup? What if you don't have a hadala set? What do you do? And can you eat meals that they're heating for you on Shabbos, not in a proper way of heating? Then we'll get to the area of kashrus, which will include: can you eat a double-wrapped baked potato they make for you? Can you eat double-wrapped salmon that they make for you? Can you eat cooked vegetables they double-wrap for you? Can you eat a hard-boiled egg on the cruise ship? Can you have cold cereal and milk in the non-kosher utensils? Can you get freshly cut up fruits and vegetables? What do you do if you're scheduled to go to the mikveh while you're on the cruise? When do you have to bench Birchas HaGoma when you return from the cruise? These are some of the other areas we'll explore, and Mirtz Hashem continuing with next week.